Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
Close circuit for Tom, who called in from Lansing. He said, if you want to take a different tack for a moment, and I do, Tom. He's on his way out to Flathead Lake in Montana, one of the most spectacular things you will ever see in your life. For those of you who don't know, I went to college in Bozeman. Grew up in Michigan, went to college in Bozeman, then was sucked back into the vortex a few years later. Tom, here's where you need to go. Flathead Lake, if you're going there, go to Kalispell. There's a restaurant in Kalispell called Hops Downtown. You'll weep. It is so good. Cool little spot. Microbrewery. Montana top five in microbreweries right along with Michigan. Go to Hamilton, Montana to the Montana Cafe. Ernest Hemingway, who spent much time in northern Michigan, also spent a fair amount of time in Hamilton, Montana. You can check that out. The Beaver Head River, great fly fishing for rainbow trout and a place to find their twin bridges. Perfect little community. Trust me, if you don't believe me, I'll put Ivy on the line here, and she'll tell you about trout fishing in Montana on the Gallatin, the Jefferson, the Madison, and the Beaverhead, which is often overlooked. So there's your trout fishing tip of the day for this Friday. Southwestern Montana, pretty much anywhere. But some places are just that much better. At any rate, the professor's on the line. Steve Doolin here, member of the board of directors of the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. Doolin, what's happening?
Another day above ground, Steve.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, do you fish or what?
Not as much as I should, being originally from the UP. My dad was very disappointed in me.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed right now.
I can hear it.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, you know, if you ever saw the movie A River Runs Through It, Brad Pitt said quite famously, "You can't trust a man who don't fish." For the record, you fish some. Barack Obama, he don't fish. All right, you know what I'm saying. You can't trust a guy who doesn't fish. I'm just saying it. Right. Did you watch the convention last night?
I couldn't bring myself to watch it as it was happening. I like a lot of people, I'm just watching bits and pieces on the internet and reading about it, as opposed to just sitting there like a zombie with my eyes glued to the tube.
Yeah, I watched last night. What I found surprising were the amount of signs that popped up at different times in the crowd that said liar on them, and quickly the networks would pan away from it. They had taken Hillary signs and converted them to say liar. Very clever stuff for the Bernie supporters in the room. But, of course, they didn't get any attention. If it had been Donald Trump, you know, and they had done the same thing, that's all they'd be talking about today. The double standard is alive and well.
There is such a bias in the media. Several years back, I was on the Piers Morgan show at the same time as Christiane Amanpour. And I was sitting next to, as I call him, Deepak effing Chopra. And at one point, I remember on a break, Christiane Amanpour leaning over to Piers Morgan asking, "What did the president tell us to say about this?"
For real.
For real. That happened on a break on the set.
So let me ask you this. Okay, Doolin, you're a smart guy, a lawyer, but a smart guy nonetheless.
Thanks.
I'm just giving you a break. But how is it that people can look at the life's work of Hillary Clinton, Filegate, Travelgate, the failed health care deal, the DNC fabricating a Russian hacker story because they have racist, sexist, misogynist emails. Nobody that's intellectually honest could stomach all of this. I mean, seriously, nobody that is intellectually honest, whether it's a reporter or a politician or even a lawyer, could stomach this. Why does it happen?
I think about this a lot, actually, because I have some friends who I consider to be intelligent people who managed to somehow twist their brains around and support her. And these are good people, people I would trust with my child. And I think about this. I ask myself the same question. Here's my answer. It's the culture of victimhood, and it's a technique called equivocation. Because what I get back from those friends whenever I mention any of these things that you just mentioned is, well, everybody does it. Or the Republicans did it too, or what about when Reagan did X or Bush did Y? And that's how they do it.
I'm concerned about something you said there. We're on the line with Steve Doolin, professor at Cooley Law School and board of directors member at the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. You said you would trust your children with these people. That's all Marks wants you to do. Give your children to the socialists for 4 years, and he'll change the world, which apparently is happening.
Well, that's a fair point. I wouldn't trust any of these folks with the education of my child, but, you know, maybe for an evening here or there, or for a meal.
A free lunch? You see? You just walked right into it.
Well played, sir.
You're making it too easy.
Yeah. Well, we all have these friends and relatives that we've either, you know, been born into, or in my case, a lot of people that I met back in college, and it just makes me shake my head. And, you know, we agree to disagree, and we engage in civil discourse, but they're just flat out wrong.
That's right. I have some misgivings about Donald Trump and concerns about how he will conduct himself as president when it comes to things like executive orders is my biggest single concern about how he will conduct himself there. If he will take what Barack Obama has done and expand on that notion that the president has all of this power, which is really not enumerated in the Constitution, not the way it's being used now. That's my concern. But my concern with Hillary Clinton is she will continue to use public office to enrich herself, her husband, her daughter. I mean, how is it that Chelsea Clinton has a job that pays almost $1 million and lives in a $12 million luxury apartment in New York City? I mean, because she earned it? And people complain that Donald Trump got $1 million loan from his father? Really?
Yeah, you just reminded me of a line from one of my favorite movies, Raising Arizona, which is, well, what you got is favoritism, and over here it's who you know. And that's certainly what it's about. Yeah, absolutely. I have, by the way, Steve, very similar concerns about executive orders in general. The most recent one that kind of has me fired up, actually does have me fired up, is a change in the definition of manufacturer of firearms that includes a ton of gunsmiths. This just happened a week ago. There's a definitional change regarding the term manufacturer of firearms under an international treaty that would raise the licensing fees for a lot of gunsmiths, small-time gunsmiths, to $2,600 plus per year, which is a huge jump, and it's going to put a lot of small-time gunsmiths out of business. And it's this incremental chip away redefining of terms, especially with regard to gun rights, that really drives me crazy.
But why would that matter? You said it was an international term. Why should I be concerned about that?
Well, it's an international treaty that's in place. It's called ITAR, I-T-A-R, and the United States is a signatory to it, and it has to do with the trafficking and regulation of small arms worldwide. And
but we've never ratified that treaty. John Kerry signed it, but it's never been ratified. Why should I be worried about that?
Well, you should be worried because it's been in place now for years, and the ratchet only turns one direction. There's no sunset on that thing.
I know that. And all it takes is a liberal Senate to say, yes, we support it, and vote it all in. I get it. Professor, yeah. I have to run. Great conversation. Go fishing, would you?
I will do, Steve. Take me with you to Montana.
It's a deal.
All
Steve
right.
Dulon, everybody. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.